You're listening to Playing the Numbers Podcast, bringing you baseball numbers you don't know but need to know, and deep dives on teams and players around the league. Now, presenting your co-hosts, Avery Redd and Shane Mohan.
Yo, what's going on, everybody? We got a lot of things that happened over the weekend, starting it off with the Dodgers sweeping the Giants. The Rays go on to win 10 straight, and Tatis is dominating. I'm Shane Mohan, joined with my co-host, Avery Redd. Let's get into the numbers.
What's up, guys? We got another weekend of baseball. Great time. Great time for me. Not a great time for Shane. All right.
We avoided the sweep.
Some fun series. Some cool things happened. Let's go over this week. I'm going to cover the AL. Shane's got the NL. We're going to switch it up. And interleague, both of our squads are actually in interleague, so we're both just going to take those. Going to go over the power rankings, pitching performance of the week as usual, all the good stuff, do some questions at the end. And before we get into the series recap, let's listen to a few highlights from this week.
Pitch coming. This is fly ball out to deep left center. Ball center field. Lewis going back. Look it up. This is still Slam Diego. And this is Fernando Tatis Jr.'s world.
All right, guys. What's up? You want to start it off with the NL or do you want me to start it off with the AL?
I'll go NL first. So to start it off, we had the Cubs playing at St. Louis. Chicago took the series 2-1. Kyle Kent Hendricks got the first win of the day, went 6 2/3 with 7 hits, only giving up 1 at 4 Ks. Not a bad stat line. Game 2, St. Louis did get the win 2-1. Alzaloy actually went pretty deep into the game, went
he's
7.
Good.
Yeah, I'm liking what I see from him. Mike Mikolas did get the W, though. He went 4 with 3 hits and 3 Ks. Jumping over to game 3, Chicago won with a walk-off.
It was just a go-ahead shot from Javi Baez.
Oh, right. Javi Baez, like I said, got the go-ahead dinger in the 10th. Wainwright, wow. You know, I actually have him as my pitcher of the week. I think you do as well, or pitcher of the weekend.
Yep.
8 innings, 1 hit, no runs, 7 Ks. Real nice job from Waino, showing the old days are still in him. Series standouts, KB went 4-11. Baez 3-12 with that homer in game 3. Sosa was 7-11 with a double and a triple. And Goldie was 2-12 with 2 doubles. Mikolas pitched for the first time since 2019. And yeah. The Cubs bullpen hasn't allowed a run in their last 25 innings. So you're looking, I mean, I'd say
25 2/3.
So I'm curious how many games that stretches through. I think probably 2 to 3 innings you'd like think per game. So,
oh, it's 3 games against the Cubs. It was 4 against the Nats and then 1 in their prior series, I think. So that's 8 games they haven't given up a run.
Hey, it's huge. It's one of the, like, I think I said this the other week, it's one of the things that's overlooked in this sport is how important bullpen is.
Oh, yeah.
And when your bullpen is shutting people out daily, it really makes a world of difference.
Yeah.
So there we had it.
That was a fun series. I enjoyed that one.
Yep. Chicago took the win 2-1. Hopping over to Pittsburgh and Atlanta. Atlanta took the series 3-1 in this 4-game game 1. Pittsburgh did win 6-4. Crow got the W with 5 innings, 7 hits, 4 runs, and 7 Ks.
That's pronounced Crow. Only reason I know that is because he's from the Nats. We traded him to Pittsburgh for Josh Bell.
That ended up working out.
Kind of.
Was that the only guy that they had to give up for, or you had to give up for him?
We gave him and another prospect that I actually liked named Eddie Yean. He was a right-handed pitcher.
I would take that deal any day.
Yeah, I'll still take it.
Now we get into game two. 20 runs for the Braves in game two. Ian Anderson went six innings with six hits and six Ks. Not too bad. Not too bad. No runs other than the six hits. Good for him. Braves had an onslaught in game two. Game three, Atlanta took another win, 6-1. Wilson went 6 2/3 with five hits and an earned run. Game four, Atlanta did end up winning their third game of the series, 7-1. Max Fried went seven innings, four hits, two Ks. And the series standouts, Austin Riley, 8-16. I believe he had two homers in game two.
I think he had two homers in game two and game four.
Yeah, he finished with four in the series. So he absolutely dominated over the weekend.
Well, as Albie, you said, as you said earlier, I think you told me the Braves have like so much more home runs as a team than the next team.
78 total.
Holy shit.
78 bombs. And just to put that into perspective, on the opposite end of the spectrum, the Pirates are in dead last with only 30. So,
wow.
Yeah. Braves offense has it. They have it. And finish out the standouts. Albies had three homers with 6-16. Brian Reynolds for the Pirates is 6-16 as well. Put one over the fence. And Adam Frazier looking really nice. Not really talked about, but he's having some good numbers this year. He's 7-16 in the series.
Yeah, I like Frazier. He's right up there in the batting race. If the All-Star game was today, he'd probably be my second baseman. So, kind of a boring series, but.
I wouldn't say so. I mean, 20 runs, no matter who it is, that's pretty fun to watch an offensive performance like that.
I thought game one was cool, but. I'm not just saying that because the Braves lost, but it was a good game. But the rest of them, 21, 6-1, 7-1, kind of boring.
Braves outscored the Pirates 37-9 in the series.
Yeah, that's fucking crazy.
Big mismatch there. So we'll hop over to D-backs Rockies. They did play in Colorado, and they got the sweep. Game one. Rockies took it 7-1. Marquez was a potential pitcher of the weekend candidate for me. Went seven innings, four hits, no runs, also had eight Ks to his name. Game two got real exciting. Mad Bum versus Senzatella. I think that's how you pronounce it.
Yeah, something like that.
He actually ended up getting the win. Bumgarner didn't have his best outing. He went 6-8 hits, 5 earned runs. Hopping over to game three, another exciting one. And Widener and John Gray. John Gray did end up getting the win. 6 innings, 2 hits, 3 earned runs. Series standouts. Trevor Story had the walk-off.
Yep. That was a hell of a shot. Good to see him heating up.
Yeah. He needed that, man. He needed that big. That was in game three, his walk-off. Escobar was 4-13. Blackman, 4-10. David Peralta was 5-12. We missed it last week, but Ketel Marte is back, which is really nice to see. They need him. I mean, they need a lot more than Marte, but it's nice to see him back. I've always been a fan of him.
Yeah, I didn't even notice he came back against the Dodgers. I just noticed him this week, and I was like, oh, shit. But they've now lost 8 straight, so.
Yeah.
It's not looking good for them. They're about to be behind the freaking Rockies after getting swept by them, so. The D-backs, the talking snakes, not looking so hot.
Yeah, that was big momentum there for them. They needed that, the Rockies. I mean, I don't know if it'll matter in the end. Probably one of the toughest divisions to compete in.
Yeah. Yeah. You know that guy, Josh Fuentes?
Fuentes. Yeah.
Yeah, on the Rockies. Did you know he's Arenado's cousin?
I did not know that.
I know. Isn't that cool?
So they played together, right, when Arenado was there?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
That's pretty neat. Very neat.
Neat.
Hopping over to New York Mets and the Marlins. Now this was a series that I actually was really interested in. And it all started with game one. It went to 12 innings. The Mets won 6-5. Stroman ended up going six innings with six hits and two earned runs, had 8 Ks. Curtis only went one. He didn't even do that bad. That was his first start. Only one inning, one hit. I guess it was a bomb.
Yeah, I think so. He was just the opener.
And they pulled him right after that. So, short leash for him. Game two, Miami won 3-1. Pablo Lopez went really another potential pitcher of the weekend performance or candidate. Went seven innings, four hits, no earned runs with 8 Ks to his name. Hopping over to game three, Miami did end up getting the series win there, won 5-1. Yamamoto went four innings with six hits and four earned runs. So that was nice to see. Poteet actually went deep into the game. I know he pitched against the Phils last week. He actually didn't look too bad. I saw a lot of movement on his pitches. He could be something. He could be something. Seven innings, three hits, no earned runs. So another decent performance from him, but did not end up working in his favor when it was all said and done. Some series standouts. Garrett Cooper, 6-11. This guy's on a tear. This guy is on a tear. He's leading that lineup offensively. Brian Anderson was 6-11 on the Mets side. Joe, I'm going to butcher this one.
Dude, I don't even know how. This is why I wrote it out on the sheet. I wrote his full name out because how the fuck do you say that name?
We're going to try this one. Janeshwi.
Wait, what?
Janeshwi? That's what I'm thinking. Janeshwi.
I think that is how you say it, honestly, because Janeshwi. Janeshwi.
Yeah, Janeshwi Fargas, 4-12. And Thomas Nito was 2-8. And that Mets lineup, man, I mean, they're still sitting in first place with half their starting lineup injured. So they're showing they got depth.
Yeah, sadly.
Garrett Cooper, a little note, had the walk-off two-run dinger in game two. That was really, really cool to see. And Petit, 1.06 ERA. In his first 17 major league innings. So I think what would it be? Half of those were shutting down the Phils. So just not a surprise. And we're getting over into Brewers Reds. Had this series over in Cincinnati. And the Brewers did end up taking the series 2-1. Game one, the Reds won 9-4. Hoffman ended up getting the win. He went five innings, two hits, one earned run at 7 Ks. Hopping over to game two, Milwaukee did get the win, 4-3. Brett Anderson went five innings, four hits with 3 Ks. And game three, Milwaukee ended up taking the series, 9-4 win there. Freddy Peralta didn't go too deep into the game, still had 7 Ks to his name, threw 4 2/3, only giving up two. Castillo did not look good. Again, what's wrong with him?
I have no idea, dude. Let me bring up his stats again because they were really bad. Keep going, I'll bring them up.
Okay. Series standouts. Colton Wong was 3-8. You knew that was going to happen eventually, him waking up. You know, you're going to be lead off all year. You got to get something put together eventually. Yelich was 2-9, put one out. Winker, 5 homers in a 3-game series, man. I mean, that's almost every crazy. Other bat going yard.
I know, dude. He's on a crazy tear right now.
Him and Castellanos are first and second in batting average right now. I want to point that out.
The Bash Brothers.
Yeah.
Well, I got the stats on Luis Castillo.
Yeah, let's hear him.
He has had two good starts. He had one seven-inning shutout against Pittsburgh. And he had, well, I wouldn't even call it a good start, but he went four innings and gave up one run on seven hits against Arizona. And besides that, he's given up eight runs, four runs, four runs, three runs, four runs, eight runs, three runs, five runs. He's given up 40 runs in 47 innings.
See, I wonder, see, so when a guy like him who's shown that he is a, I would say he's shown that he could be an ace in most rotations.
I think he's shown he can
be a number two.
I think he's shown he can be an ace. I wouldn't call him an ace, but he's shown flashes that he could be an ace, possibly.
So he has it in him. Maybe he's got to start mixing up pitches, get people guessing more. Maybe his head is just too fogged up, got a lot of thoughts running through, but. Let's hope he can bounce back because I don't think it's going to matter in the long run. I think the Reds are what they are, and it's a shame because, like I just stated, you know, you got the Bash Brothers, Winker and Castellanos, leading the league, and it's just not gelling as a team for them, which is unfortunate.
It's a shame.
Willy Adames did make his Brewers debut.
Yeah.
Not sure how he did, though.
I think he had like two ribbies, an RBI, two RBI single in his second game there.
All right. So, not a bad start to the new team, putting runs on the board. Not really known for his hitting, though. So, I think it was a good addition, though. Urias, not your typical what you want to see at shortstop. So I think that was a good move by the Brewers when it's all said and done.
Yeah, me too. I like it. He sounds like a Brewer.
Yeah. Winker has six homers in his last seven games.
I know, dude. He's raking. I cannot believe it.
He's got a nice swing.
Actually, I can believe it, but yeah, I love him in this show. I hope he gets the Diamond Player of the Month card.
He could. We could see that.
We could.
To wrap up the NL, we had the Dodgers playing in San Fran. Had a little Max Muncy splashdown.
That was bullshit, dude. I wanted the Giants to take at least one. But the Dodgers are showing he's dominant.
Yeah. Yeah, they're the alpha in that division. Dodgers, obviously, they took the sweep. So, game one, they won 2-1. Pretty close one there. Pitcher's duel. Trevor Bauer, 6 1/3, 2 hits, no runs, 4 walks, 11 Ks. Now listen to this number. 126 pitches he had.
That's crazy. Yeah, when he was leaving the game, he was like holding his hand up to his ear. It was like all the fans were booing him, I guess. He's funny.
He is funny. Dude, Alex Wood was the loser in that series or in that game. Went 6 as well.
How about Scott Kazmir? Give him the shout out.
Yeah. First start in 5 years.
Didn't That's crazy. First start since 2016. And he hasn't pitched in the minors either since 2017. And then he pitched like a few games this year in the minors, and now he's already back. 37 years old, and he throws 4 innings of 1-run ball against the Dodgers.
Yeah, and it's a big spot, you know. Haven't seen the bigs in 5 years, and here's the ball, big guy. Go face the reigning champs.
Yep, it's crazy.
He did pretty good.
Cool story.
And in game three, Julio Urias went six innings, given up two with 10 Ks. Not too bad.
And I think he had an RBI double.
And he can hit the ball. Not as good as Zach Wheeler, but.
Right. Not as good as Scherzer.
Dude, I want you to take a look at Hot Wheels' hitting stats for me.
Who?
Hot Wheels.
Hot Wheels, really? I bet you Strasburg has more career dingers.
I'm not talking career. I'm talking right now, dude. I think he might have some of the best hitting stats for pitchers in the league. I know he's got at least three or four hits and a couple RBIs.
He's 5 for 24 with two doubles and three RBIs and 12 strikeouts. 208 hitter.
Hey, it's not bad considering we can't get the DH.
Not bad at all. I wonder what Hiuskar Ulloa was hitting before his ass got hurt for punching the bench.
Before he got his own ass hurt.
That's what I'm saying.
What a dumbass.
Joe Ross is hitting 250.
Damn.
Let's see what Ulloa. I think he was hitting in like 340s. 353 with two bombs and six ribbies.
Well, I'll be damned. Ulloa can hit the ball.
And 17 at bats.
That's a shame he did that, because I remember when he was throwing Sunday night ball against the Phils, and he was just lights out. Lights out.
I never even heard of him really before this year. Like, I heard him before. Like, I knew his name, but I didn't really know anything about him. But it looks like the real deal. Hopefully, he comes back healthy.
Was it his throwing hand? Or his...
Yep.
Wow. I didn't even know what to say about that.
That is not smart.
Well, anyways, series standouts for the Dodgers. You had Gavin Lux, 5 for 13 with a double and a bomb. Had four ribbies to his name.
Grand Slam he had.
Grand Slam, right. Muncy, 2 over the fence. One of them was the splashdown, was 4 for 7. And Austin Slater was 1 for 5 with a homer and two ribbies. Desclafani got roughed up for the first time this year. Jody's human. And the Dodgers have won 7 straight. So they're back. Dodgers are back. We knew they had it. And that wraps up the National League recap.
Is it my turn?
Yeah, we're handing you the reins.
All right. I got the American League. Let's see. We will start with the Twins at Cleveland, Progressive Field. Twinkies take it 2-1. They do a little sandwich job. They take game 1 and 3. Cleveland takes the middle game. Game 1, Randy Dobnak was shut down. Nothing Cleveland's offense could do. Minnesota takes it 10-1. Then we get 2 back-to-back.
10-0.
Oh, 10-0, my bad. Then we get back-to-back extra inning games. Cleveland wins 5-3 and 10. Maeda versus Bieber. They both went about 5 innings, gave up 3 runs, struck out 6. And Cleveland takes that one 5-3. Minnesota wins game 3 in 10, 8-5. J.A. Happ struck out 10 in 6 innings, gave up 4 runs, walked 1. Outduels Plesac. Some of the standouts, Max Kepler, 5 for 13 with 2 doubles, a home run, and 5 RBIs. Miguel Sano, 3 for 13, 2 doubles, a homer, 2 walks. Are these Twinkies heating up? I don't know.
I think they are.
I don't think it's out of the question that they can compete. They're only 12 games under 500. I mean, it's a lot, but once they get Buxton back, too.
Yeah, it's possible. What do we know? I think it was a couple months, right?
Yeah, sadly.
If they can sit right around 500, maybe like 10 games under by the time he gets back, they're still shot.
Yeah, well, taking two out of three from these Indians is huge.
Fucking Rangers.
Moving on.
We got Cesar?
Oh, yeah, Cesar, game two, walk off. Your little Phillies roots. Nobody
damn
cares.
Right. Shut the hell up, dude. He was pretty good over here. He had a few. He was consistently like a 280 hitter.
Yeah, he was all right. He wasn't bad, honestly. But thank God he's off that squad. Walk-off dinger for Cesar there. I'll tip my cap to him. I will tip it. Indians drop it. Minnesota takes it 2-1. Moving on. AL West. Stros at the Rangers. Rangers, they're showing some life. They sweep the Astros. Game 1-7-5. Tyler Ivey making his major league debut for the Stros. He goes 4 2/3, 6 hits, 4 runs, 1 walk, 3 strikeouts. Welcome to the show. Kyle Gibson, another nice start. He's been pretty solid this year. 6 innings, 4 hits, 1 run, 4 strikeouts. Texas wins 7-5-10. Texas is going to take game 2-8-4. Lance McCullers, 5 innings, 3 runs, 7 strikeouts, 4 walks. Jordan Lyles, 6 innings, 7 hits, 4 runs, 2 strikeouts. Texas takes it 8-4. Game 3, Texas takes it 3-2-10. Mike Foltynewicz, possibly a trade deadline acquisition for somebody. 7 innings pitched, 3 hits, no runs, 2 walks, 2 Ks. 7 innings shutout for Folty. I think he could be a nice pickup for somebody at the deadline that needs some starting pitching help.
That'd be cool to see. That'd be cool to see. This was definitely an unexpected sweep, though, from the Rangers, if I've ever seen one.
Hell yeah. They take all 3 games at home. Adolis Garcia, 5-for-15 with 3 homers and 8 RBIs in the series. Nate Lowe, 4-for-14 with two RBIs and a walk. Michael Brantley, 4-for-14 with an RBI, and Jason Castro, 4-for-7 with a double and an RBI. Texas sweeps. Very surprising. Tyler Ivey makes his debut, as I said. Congrats to him. Rays Blue Jays in Dunedin. There's still one more game that will be played later today at 1 o'clock where we are. It's about 11 o'clock right now, so that's going to be played in a few hours. Tampa Bay's up 3-0 so far in the series, though. Game 1, 9-7 win in 10. Glasnow gets hit well. 4 2/3. 9 hits, 5 runs, only 2 strikeouts. Probably his worst outing of the year. Anthony Kay did his job in Tampa Bay. Or I didn't mean Anthony Kay does his job. He went 4 innings, 2 earned runs, not horrible. Walk 4. Glasnow doesn't do great, but Tampa Bay still squeaks out the win. Tampa Bay wins game 2, 3-1. Robbie Ray with a nice pitching performance. 7 innings, 5 hits, 1 run, 7 Ks, no walks, but it's not enough. Tampa Bay wins it. And game 4, this was a good one. Tampa Bay was down 4-2. Going into the top of the ninth, they score 4 runs to make it a 6-4 game and win that and win the series. And they are now going for the 4-game sweep over the Blue Jays. Tampa Bay's won 10 in a row. Francisco Mejia went 3-for-8 with 2 homers, a grand slam. Manny Margot, 5-for-14 with a double and 3 RBIs. Vlad Jr., 2 more homers and 4 more RBIs.
Dude, he is on some other shit, let me tell you.
Dude, he's got so much elevation to the ball.
And it's to all parts of the field, too. Like, I swear, all of his multi-homer games are all sprayed all over the field. Like, he can hit to everywhere.
I know, dude. Another 2-homer game. Or, I don't even know if it was a 2-homer game, but another 2 homers in a series. Crazy.
Yeah, he's going to be pushing for the home run king this year. No doubt.
I would not be surprised. And Teoscar, nice series, 6-for-14 with a double, a home run, and 4 RBIs. Nice series.
Did he learn how to field a baseball is the question.
I have no idea. I haven't been watching these games, but I think he just came back from injury.
Okay.
But the Rays are up 3-0. Still one more to be played today. See if they
going for 11 straight.
Yep. Yes, they are. Moving on. AL Central. KC takes it 2-1. Detroit took the first one 7-5. Jose Urania, 6 innings, 5 runs. Mike Minor, 6 innings, 4 earned runs, and 8 strikeouts. But Detroit gets the dub. Take the 1-0 series lead, but then KC comes out and takes the next two. Matt Boyd gets roughed up a bit, 5 runs on 5 innings. Brady Singer, 6 1/3 with 3 earned runs and 6 Ks. Not a bad outing for the young guy. Casey Mize, another strong outing, 6 1/3, 3 hits, 1 earned run, 6 Ks. And Chris Bubik. I heard somebody call him Chris Bubik. But
I'm sure Chris, he got that a lot in high school.
Yeah, probably. Chris Bubik, 5 innings, 2 runs, 3 Ks. Not a bad outing. KC takes the last two. They win the series. Carlos Santana, 4-for-12 with a homer, 5 ribbies. Robbie Grossman, 6-for-14, 2 RBIs, home run, double walk. Akil Baddoo.
Love him.
3-for-3 with a double and 2 RBIs.
He's starting to grow on me.
Yeah, me too. He's a fun player. How could you not like him with the name Akil Baddoo? And is that the last one? Oh, no, we still got a few more. Two more.
A couple more, yeah.
White Sox at Yankees, which would have thought to have been a good series, even though it was a sweep from New York. Still a fun series. Game one was a walk-off single from Gleyber Torres. The Yankees won it 2-1. Jordan Montgomery, who was almost my pitching performance of the week, but I changed it at the last second. 7 innings, 4 hits, 0 runs, 0 walks, 11 Ks against a very strong White Sox lineup. Rodon matched him nicely, though. 6 innings, 2 hits, no runs, no walks, 13 Ks.
Damn.
Big-time pitcher's duel. Gleyber gets it done in the 9th. Yankees take game one. Game two.
Sure, you're used to hearing that. Gleyber getting it done in the 9th.
Yanza. Game two. Yankees win 7-0. Backed from a great performance by Gerrit Cole. 7 innings pitched, 4 hits, 0 runs, 3 walks, 7 Ks. Dylan Cease gives up 5 runs and 4 1/3. New York takes the 2-0 series lead with the 7-0 victory. And game four, they will take another win and the sweep. Dallas Keuchel, 4 innings pitched, 1 run, 2 walks, 4 Ks. Not a bad outing. Jameson Taillon looking good. 5 innings pitched, 2 hits, 0 runs, 2 walks, 4 strikeouts. Not a bad outing from him. Yankees win it 5-4 on the walk-off walk from Aaron Judge. Liam Hendricks was brought in to face him and walked him on 5 pitches, his first batter he faced of the day. So tough.
There was also triple play in that game.
That was game one, I believe.
Oh, it was?
Yeah, I think that was game one. Yep, triple play in game 5-1.
5-4-3. 5-4-3.
That was a crazy play. Gleyber, 8-for-12 in the series. With a double, a homer, and 8 RBIs.
Still batting a .170, though.
I know. Well, he's definitely heating up. Judgey, 5-for-11. An RBI and 3 walks. Moncada, 3-for-9. Abreu, 3-for-12 with a homer. Yankees surprisingly sweep the Werhat Shy Sox. 28-19 on the season now. I believe they're half game out of first. And they win that one. A's at Angels. Oakland takes the series 2-1. They are 28-20 now. They win game 1-8-4. Jose Quintana and James Caprillion both go a little over 5 innings. 2 earned runs for Caprillion, 3 for Quintana, 9 strikeouts for Caprillion, only 4 for Quintana. Oakland takes the win 8-4. Game 2, Chris Bassett, 7 2/3. You did call a good outing from him. Well, actually, you called a no-hitter, but I'll give it to you.
It was looking like it. I think he had it through 3 or 4.
Well, calling no-hitters is not as meaningful as it used to be now since they happen third day.
You can say that again.
7 2/3, though. 5 hits, 2 runs, 1 walk, 8 Ks. Outduels Patrick Sandoval. 5 innings, 4 hits, 2 runs, 2 walks, 3 Ks. Oakland takes it 6-2. Moving on to game 3, L.A. squeaks it out with a comeback win. Sean Manaea was good on the bump. He went 5 innings, 4 hits, 1 run, 2 walks, 6 Ks. Dylan Bundy got roughed up. I'm wondering if his 2020 was just a little flash in the pan. And this is the kind of pitcher he is. 2 1/3, 5 hits, 4 runs, 1 walk, 2 Ks.
He's their ace, right?
Well,
he isn't an ace, but I think he's their ace.
I'd probably say Andrew Heaney.
Oh, yeah.
I think he's a little better. But not the most exciting series. Oakland takes it 2-1. Matt Olson goes 4-for-11, 2 tanks, 2 RBIs, 2 walks. Seth Brown, 2-for-4 with 2 tanks. Jared Walsh, 3-for-12 with 2 tanks. And Jose Iglesias, 4-for-11 with a homer.
That's surprising, seeing him muscle one out.
Yeah. Well, Oakland takes it. 28-20 on the year. They're still in the first place in the NL West.
That was my prediction when it's all said and done.
I think Houston still comes up and takes it, but we'll see. Moving on to the interleague where our Nats and Phillies lie. We also have the Mariners and Padres in here. You want me to just keep going and do the Mariners, Padres? And then I'll do Nats. And then you got the Phils. All right. Mariners at Petco, 21-26 after getting swept by the Padres. You now have the best record in baseball at 30-17. Game 1, Padres bats come alive 16-1. Score 8 runs in an inning and 2/3 on Seattle starter Chris Flexen. Chris Paddock, 6 innings pitched, 1 run, 6 Ks. He was solid. San Diego takes game 2, 6-4. Ryan Weathers, 4 innings pitch, 1 run. They light up Sheffield for 5 earned runs in 5 innings. Also walked 5. And game 3, lopsided 9-2 victory for San Diego. Yu Darvish lights out again. 7 innings pitch, 1 earned run, no walks, 5 Ks. Talk about some serious, serious standouts. Fernando Tatis, 7-for-10. What'd you say?
In the title.
Yeah. Dude, 7-for-10 with 3 home runs and 10 RBIs and 3 walks.
Yeah, the dude's on some shit. It's official. I mean, when you go 7-for-10 in the series, you're seeing the ball well and the 3 walks on top of it with the 10 ribbies. I mean, he's clutch. And I know the Mariners aren't a force, but it's still a great offensive performance, dude. Nonetheless, I mean, 2 doubles along with the 3 homers. Can't get much better than that.
No, you cannot. He's killing it. Cronenworth, another guy that's very hot. 4-for-13 with a homer, 5 ribbies. Mitch Haniger, 3-for-11, a homer, 2 doubles. Tatis is just on another level. Padres have won 7 straight. They now have the best record in baseball and are leading the NL West. And here comes my Nats.
In the big time sweep.
Against Baltimore, the big time sweep.
thought you were going to say the big time squad. I'm like, yeah, show it that shit.
The big time sweep by the big time squad. And the party's going to be hosted by Big Time Rush. 3-0 sweep. 20-23 we are now. We take game two for game one. 4-2. Strasburg coming back since first time since April. 5 1/3. 1 hit. No runs. 4 walks. And 4 Ks. Great outing from him. Good to get him in there against a weaker lineup, but still has a few tough bats to maneuver. Mancini, Mullins, Santander, who hits Strasburg very well. And great way to ease him back into things. We take that one 4-2. Game two, this was an exciting one. Nats wind up winning it 12-9. Orioles took an early 5-0 lead, which then turned into a 6-1 lead. John Lester got rocked early on. He wound up going 4 innings, 6 earned runs, 3 walks, 4 Ks. Josh Harrison with the grand slam, though, to pull us in from one. Then Ryan Zimmerman hit a big 3-run shot to give us the lead. We wound up winning at 12-9. On the
Seems
game
like you're almost wishing Fetty was back the way Lester's
honestly,
pitching.
Yeah, Lester's been rough and Ross, and Fetty wasn't doing bad. So, going to be interesting to see if they put him in over Ross. But, game three, Patrick Corbin.
Kind of back to his old ways.
And when I say old ways, I mean to the beginning of this year. He didn't have a great start. 5 2/3, 11 hits, 4 runs, 3 Ks. But we still get the win. We go down 3-0 early in the first again. Another comeback victory. And that is the first time since 2008 a Nats starting pitcher has given up 11 runs and has still got the win.
Hits.
11 hits, I mean, yeah. 11 hits and still gets the win. First time in 13 years. Also, this first time since the Phils won the World Series 13 years.
Right. Fuck you.
Got some series standouts from the big time sweep. Kyle Schwarber, 5 for 12, 2 doubles, a homer, 4 ribbies, 2 walks. He's really starting to heat up. Josh Harrison, 5 for 10 with a double, a homer, 5 ribbies, and a walk. Anthony Santander, he always kills the Nats. 6 for 13, 2 walks, a homer, 2 RBIs. And Freddie Alves, 4 for 13, 2 walks, a homer, or 2 doubles, I meant, a homer, and 3 RBIs. Great series from him. And we got one more series left, and I'm going to pass it off to my good buddy Theo. Go ahead.
Yeah, just a couple things on the Nats. You know, it's pretty clear here that when Schwarber and Bell are heating up, when they're playing well, it's like it spreads, you know, a sweep here. I don't even care if it's the O's. And we saw throughout the series that the O's were up by a lot or a little quite often. And Schwarber and Bell, I mean, Bell didn't do too much in the series. I think he said he's hitting 400 in the last 5 games. Is that right?
In his last 7 games, he's hit over 400.
Yeah. So it's clear that when those two guys are playing well, the team's playing well. Harrison, probably one of the most underrated, overlooked guys so far this year. I mean,
oh yeah,
every day he's getting hits.
Yep, he's fun to watch.
So, yeah, I mean, if you guys can get the pitching squared away and keep your big-time hitters hot, I mean, Turner's always going to have a good game and might have a few duds here and there. That's just baseball. But there's potential here. I think it's a small shot to go deep into the year, although we saw in 19 that it was the odds were much against you guys, and you still pulled it off. So, I mean, the Nats definitely have it in them. It's just a matter of getting to stay consistent.
Well, the thing with Trey Turner is he actually has the most multi-hit games this year out of anybody. And but like every once in a while, like during a 7 period, he'll probably go 2 for 4, 3 for 4, And then he'll have one game where he'll go 0 for 5 or 0 for 4.
That happens, man. That's literally baseball, the definition of baseball right there.
Yep. Well, Josh Harrison, he's 7th in average in the National League. 7th.
Yeah, he's on a tear. He's seeing the ball extremely well, to say the least.
Yep. Well, if you want to move on to the Phillies.
Yep, Bo Sox came to town. I mean, if anyone was being realistic, we knew the odds were against us in this series, and it was very prevalent. Bo Sox came out strong with an 11-3 victory in game one. Martin Perez went 6 innings, only giving up 3 with 7 Ks. Nola got touched up a little early on, settled down for a few innings, and then the wheels started to fall off. I think it was Danny Santana that hit a nuke on 0-2 curveball that was hung right down the cock, and he shot that shit up. And I think it bounced off the back of the concourse in the first deck. It was a bomb. He still had 9 Ks to his name, but ultimately the Red Sox just dominated us. Game two was a lot closer. Bo Sox ended up winning 4-3. Phils came back late in the game. It wasn't enough. Evaldi went 5 1/3, giving up 3. Looked pretty good. Spencer Howard got his second, I believe, or I think it was the second start of the year. 6 innings, 2 hits, 2 earned runs with 9 Ks. Not bad. Not too bad. I think 7-8 times out of 10, that'll get you a W. The Phils lineup has been very, very iffy as of late, and it ended up not working in our favor. But game three, the Phils avoided the sweep, so hopefully that can be the momentum right there and hopping into the next series against the Marlins, which start tonight, 6:40. Another team that I'm scared of. I got to be honest. I'm scared of the Marlins. They've gotten the better of us for years. For some reason, we just struggle against them. Some series standouts. Devers was 4-13 with 2 homers. I think he actually had one of the nukes off of Nola. 5 ribbies to his name. Bogarts was 4-12. And they were talking about Bogarts a lot throughout the series, saying, like, he's one of the guys that's shadowed in regards to popularity. But, I mean, he's shown he's one of the top players in the league all around. And he showed it in this series, going 4-12 with a double, a homer, and 4 RBIs, drawing 2 walks. Brad Miller was 4-9 with a homer in game 3. That was a 3-run shot. Gene Segura, 5-10 in the series with a double and a homer. Had 2 RBIs and 2 walks to his name. Some notes. I mean, Nola, not looking too good. He's not looking too good. I know the 9 Ks is pretty damn good. I'd like to think 9 Ks is a good start. Wheeler is continuing to impress. I think he is clearly the ace on this Phillies rotation right now, and hopefully he can continue that. You know, I think when Wheeler takes the mound, it should be a W most of the time, but it just didn't work this time. Red Sox offense is staying hot, though. They really, really came out and impressed the hell out of me and continue to dominate. And I mean, they started off really shitty this year, and they found the pieces they needed, and they're going to be tough this year, no doubt.
Oh.
But that's all I got.
You know, they won the game when they had Wheeler, right?
You're right. My mistake. Wheeler actually did get them the W. I was looking at game 2 wrong. I got him and Howard mixed up. So even though Howard still had a good start, I mean, all 3 of the Phils pitchers combined for 30 Ks in the series, the starters.
Wow.
So, you know, they have it. It's just the big thing right now is the offense is lacking a heavy. And one stat I racked up some numbers since last Sunday through yesterday. The Phils have 9 errors on defense. 9 errors. And I'm going to say, actually, I think all of them have led to runs. So, you know, when you eliminate the errors, and I mean, the offense, it's been tough. It's been tough to watch, but you eliminate those errors, this might be a 2-1 win for the Phils and not the Bo Sox.
Yeah, they got to clean it up. They've been a little sloppy. I accidentally messed up Spencer Howard's stats. That's his real stat line. It is. I think that was whoever I had in there from last week. I messed it up.
Well, when you put him how they actually were, he did awful.
No, he didn't. He gave up one hit and 2 runs. He did walk 4, but he wasn't awful.
I guess it was all right. Against the, but you know what? I erased that. Against the Bo Sox, 1 hit, 2 earned runs is fine through 3 with 5 Ks.
I was looking at that and I was like, 6 innings and 9 strikeouts. What the hell is this?
Yeah.
All right. Well, Bo Sox take it. You got anything else to say?
Little stat on Harper. 2 for his last, it's either 25 or 26. I think it's 2 for his last 25. It has 14 strikeouts.
Yikes.
And he's been up, I'd say, a good 3 or 4 times in the last week and a half with the game on the line late in the game. And he's K'd every single time.
Shame.
Yep. Him and Kutch need to turn it around because those two are slumping like fucking crazy.
Frustrating.
We are facing Trevor Rogers tonight. And our lone run against him last week was a McCutcheon bomb. So,
well, what time does that start?
6:40.
I'll probably tune into that at work. Listen to freaking Franston.
Damn right you will.
Well, what do you want to break into next?
Let's get the power rankings. Actually, you know what? Pitching performance of the week. I think we both very much agree that it was Wainwright.
Yeah, we know.
8 innings, 1 hit, no earned runs with 1 walk and 7 Ks against the Cubbies.
The Cubbies. I like the Cubbies.
Couple things to go over. Just we'll recap the big things from the weekend. Rays did win 10 straight. Dodgers won 7 straight. Padres 9 straight. Like we said, best record in the league today. NL East is separated by 2.5 games. Looking really nice. Looking like a nice series there. Nice standings. So we'll see what happens there. I still see the Phils taking it, dude. Still see the Phils taking it. Tatis with a 536 WRC plus in his last 3 games. Castellanos and Winker lead baseball on average. Dolis Garcia is raking still. And Jacob DeGrom comes back Tuesday. Has the lowest ERA in baseball.
You're damn right. About time he comes back. I've been wanting to watch him. Well, actually, I haven't been too pissed about it because the Mets, but I want to watch him pitch again. And, oh, yeah. We have to have a little story time because I got people asking me what's up with the Theo talk.
Oh, yeah. This goes way back to MLB 16, the show, when I was creating. I think that might have been the first year that you could make a Diamond Dynasty creative player. And I was going through the names, and Matty V, as always, and get the audio little example for each name, came across Theophanopoulos. And holy shit, that was fucking hilarious. Spammed the shit out of it. And he'd go, Shane Theophanopoulos.
It was really funny when we were, it was really funny when we were like 13.
Yeah, it was. It was, yeah, I guess we were 13.
Theophanopoulos.
Yeah, 13 years old. And that's, it kind of just stuck. And then,
yep, my name was the Fiji Red Men. The Fiji Dead Men.
Yes, sir. And we had a 7-game series. It was like a World Series at the end of the year.
Yeah.
And it was called the Fiji Theo Best of 7.
And I beat his ass.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did. I won.
You know, you might have taken it in game 7. I think it was 3-3.
You're damn right.
Congrats, bud.
I probably hit a no doubter with Ichiro off your ass. I wish they still had Ichiro in the game.
Dude, that card was cheesy as fuck.
Now I want to play the show.
Might just have to when we wrap this up.
Hell yeah. If any of you guys play the show, DM us your teams.
Yeah, DM us your teams. Maybe we can get a custom league going. And get some money involved here. We'll make it interesting.
Hell yeah.
You might have to put that on the story.
Yeah, I'd be down for that.
Well, PTN Custom League.
While we're talking about the show, I'm going to plug a little ad here. Check out MLBTheShow.info. DM him on Twitch. Or not on Twitch, what the hell am I talking about? On Instagram, MLBTheShow.info. Not actually type out dot, just a dot. DM him about his grinding service. He grinds on your account. He's legit. I've used him before, I promise. If he's not, I will pay you the amount of money he took from you, which he won't. But if he does, I'll give you the money. He's going to grind in your account for anything you want. He's got prices. He'll send you that. Use, when you're DMing him, text him the code numbers for 10% off your order of any order you get. He'll do missions, moments, player of the month, all that good stuff. He'll grind it. Hit him up. If you play MLB The Show, he's cheap. It's literally like $6 for some showdowns or something like that. I know you have some money. Go buy some. Thank you. On with the rest of the show. Got anything else you want to talk about?
No, I think that's it. Go over the power rankings real quick, and then we'll wrap it up.
Sweet. All right, power rankings. I'll go first. I got Padres number one. Dodgers number two, Red Sox 3, Rays 4, excuse me, Giants 5, Yankees 6, A's 7, Astros 8, Cardinals 9, and the Blue Jays 10.
I like it. I like it. There's a few things I would have switched up there. We'll go over mine. I got Padres, Red Sox, Rays, Dodgers, Giants, Astros, Blue Jays, A's, Cardinals, Yankees.
Yankees that low, huh?
Yeah.
I don't know. I got to put them a little higher after the sweep of the Sox.
Arguably could have had the Sox in there.
Yeah, actually, I think I'm going to put the Sox in there at 10. Over the Blue Jays.
I like the Blue Jays in the top 10, though.
Yeah, but they're down 3-0 to the Rays. Chance to get swept. I don't know. The Rays, though, they're on a tear.
Yeah, they are. What's the record for win streak? Wasn't it the Indians back in 18? Had like 21?
I don't know if they have the record, but it's like just a bit over 20.
That's crazy.
I know.
It's like almost a month straight of winning.
I know, dude. It's crazy. I got a list of 6 players on my hot list, we're going to call it. Something. Maybe we'll come up with something less stupid, but for now we're going to call it the hot list. And on there, I got Fernando Tatis, Jesse Winker, Austin Riley, Gleyber Torres, Carlos Rodon, and Jordan Montgomery. All are members of the hot list. And now we're going to go down to a list that you do not want to be a part of. And that's the cold list. Featuring Jorge Soler, Bryce Farter, Eugenio Suarez. Yordan Alvarez, surprisingly.
Really?
Yes. Not hitting very well. Nolan Arenado in a little bit of a slump. And you're probably going to be surprised since he's leading the major leagues in home runs. But Ronald Acuna Jr. Yes, he is cold. Yes, he is leading in home runs. But let me pull up his stats for you. In his last 7 games, he is 4-for-26 with 3 home runs, and he's hitting 154. He's now only hitting 276 on the season.
I don't even think Harper's good enough to make the gold list.
he should be on what then? Below freezing list?
The shit list.
Shit list. All right. Maybe I'll have to make the shit list just for Bryce.
That can be the new name, the shit list.
Shit list. Well, on my sheet, I have cold highlighted in blue. So maybe I should change it to shit and highlighted in brown. Well, honestly. Oh, yeah. All I got left is the upcoming series to look forward to next week. And if you don't got anything else, then we can wrap it up after that.
Yeah. Let's see what we got to look forward to this week. Take it away.
All right. This upcoming week, we got a few nice matchups. Really nice ones, actually. We got the St. Louis Cardinals over to Shy. What are your thoughts on Trevor Bauer facing the Astros?
I think it's a big test for him. And if it goes south for him, I don't want to hear any fucking excuses.
X. Bauer's balls versus Astros' cans. All right. Well, that's going to be a hell of a series. And we got another 2-game set that I'm looking forward to. Braves. Go to Fenway. Charlie Morton and Garrett Richards and Drew Smyly and Nick.
That'll Pivetta. Be a test. That'll be a test to see where the NL East. Well, not really the NL East, but the two contenders for the wild card. We'll say. See where they stand.
I'm hoping the Braves get swept.
Yeah, they will.
I hope so.
That Bo Sox team is a force.
Hell yeah, it is. But they don't have their best pitching on the mound, so we'll see. And the last series I wanted to talk about, Blue Jays and Yankees in Yankee Stadium. That should be a good one. I'm going to look to see if the Blue Jays can get back on track here. They still haven't announced their pitchers, but the Yankees are going Kluber, Domingo Germán, and Jordan Montgomery. But the Blue Jays, unless they have since I checked last, but I don't think so. Let me look. Oh, yeah, they're going Steven Matz game one. And that's all they've announced. So Steven Matz will be going against Corey Kluber game one. And Robbie Ray is going against Jordan Montgomery in game three. And they still have to wrap up their series with Tampa today. That's Ryan Yarbrough versus Trent Thornton in Dunedin.
Blue Jays-Yankees is always a great series.
Yeah, that's going to be a fun one. And then your fill-ins are playing the Fish, and we are playing the Red Stockings.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens. I mean, like I said, I am afraid of the Fish. That is one team that I'm afraid of, and it's a shame, but it's the honest truth.
Well, we got Max on the mound tomorrow, so feeling confident. And if that's all you got, I'm done.
Yeah, we got everything we needed. Look forward to the series this week, as always, guys. And stay tuned for the MLB The Show PTN Custom League. We're going to get some money going for this. We'll get a winner of the end of it. Maybe we'll do – do we want to do Diamond Dynasty teams, or do we want to do live teams, like Legends and Flashbacks for current teams?
Oh, like you're saying, like do team builds?
Yeah, yeah.
I wouldn't be opposed to that. Like, if we got – I got the Nats, you got the Phils, and then we just had other people use cards of their team. But the only rule I would have is it has to be a card like that. It can't be like – I can't use live series Bryce Harper and say, oh, he's a Nats legend. Like, he has
to – has to be current. The card has to be from the team.
Yeah. Well, so we'll see what everybody else wants to do.
So, for example, you could use gold rookie Bryce Harper.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we'll see what everybody else wants to do. But, yeah, stay tuned for that. And speaking of the show, I'm about to hop on.
Yeah, I think I'll join you.
Yeah. All right. Well, great series. Had some fun matchups. Having some fun ones next week. Tatis is getting hot. Look to see if the Rays can continue this big streak they got going, trying to extend it to 11. And that's sweet. I'm very happy about that. And that's all I got.
Yeah, one more thing. I'll keep this short and sweet, but really, really appreciate the love you guys have been showing lately. We're jumping on the charts in Canada and the U.S., and it's all because of you guys. Yeah, we're going to keep pumping out content, but it's you guys that get us to the top. And it's really cool to see that we're making the list in other countries. So
yeah, I appreciate it. And sorry for the ad plugging at the end. We have to re-record that, but I'm just going to plug it right here. So check out our ad on Anchor. Sounds a little stupid, but we got to put it in here. So you might as well just check it out and then get to the dope outro. So I'm Avery Red, and I'm out.
Take it easy, guys.
That will conclude this week's episode of Playing the Numbers Podcast. Make sure to subscribe so you don't miss any episodes. Your feedback is very important to us, so leave a review and tell us your thoughts. Check back every Monday for a new weekly recap episode and hear what went on around the league.